Gail Fanumiai is the, let me see if I get this right, director of the Division of Elections. Is that right?
That's right.
Great. And Julie is the regional director for Anchorage and whatever the region of Anchorage includes. It has been a tumultuous year in terms of elections and for a lot of reasons, which we're definitely not going to cover. But I just want you to know that it is delightful to see that Alaska has made some really important progress in trying to make elections more accessible for people with vision loss. If you're blind or low vision, being able to vote fair and secret ballot is so important. And having some ways to do it, the same kinds of variability that someone who is sighted has is really important as well. So I want to, I've asked these ladies to come and talk to us about what Alaska has done, what you might see for the future. And then if we have some time, I'd like people to possibly share some of their voting experiences for these women. All right. So I'll let you guys talk about who's going to begin and how are you going to work that.
Well, this is Gail, and I'll just go first. I first want to thank you all for this opportunity. We really do value your group, and we want to be able to improve what we're doing to be able to do just what Bonnie said. Just a couple of things I'll mention is I think we made good progress in making our voter registration application and our absentee by mail application in a format that I'm not a techie person, but that's known as like HTML, and that makes it very amenable to screen readers. I believe that is something that the division accomplished over the last year or so. It's my understanding, but I need to verify this, that our online ballot delivery system is also compatible by screen reader. I'm going to be doing some more research into that, and I can get back to Bonnie and let her know. The biggest thing we have for our disabled voters are our voting tablets in all of the precincts and at our early voting locations, which do provide a multitude of opportunities for people with various disabilities to vote independently. We have an audio version of the ballots in English and also in multiple Alaska Native languages, as well as several dialects, Spanish and Tagalog. And then we also have other ways that people with other disabilities can, there's ways to adjust the brightness and the black on white, white on black. Also, I have to admit, Julie is much more versed in this area than I am because I don't work with these things up close and personal like she does. But I did want to let folks know that we're always amenable and open to having people come by and try them and see and use them during a just as a demonstration, just so you have a level of comfort. So when you do go to the polling place to vote, you know how the unit works, and that'll add, like I said, a layer of comfort and make you feel just more confident in using that voting tablet. I know that all of our regional supervisors work as hard as they can and do the best they can to make sure our polling places are accessible. We like to hear from members of Alaska, our Alaskan voters, to let us know when there are issues with polling places. And then we work, Julie and the other four regional supervisors work really hard to try to resolve those issues as quickly as possible. Also, as you know, it's not always easy to find a polling place in every precinct that, but we do the best we can. And I think Julie has a really good handle on that as well. We, as David mentioned, Julie and I met with him the other day about what can the Division of Elections do to make our website more accessible. And we are planning to look into some of those things in the near future and hope to have, before next election cycle, some more adaptability to people with disabilities. Julie, I'm not sure, do you want to have anything else you want to add?
Well,
I think you've covered a lot of it, Gail, but you know, you've all heard you don't know what you don't know. And it would be nice if you at any time, like she said, reach out to us and let us know when you had that experience at the polling place in 2020. Was it a bad experience? Was it a good experience? What can we improve on? Improve on? Because we don't always know. And the only way we can improve is we can do surveys, we can go through the paperwork, but we really need the people who are out there who are voting at the polling places, what their actual experience was. And I'm hoping that's what we could take that time for now. How did you like the new voting tablets? Did any of you try the new voting tablets? Because the voting tablets were just rolled out in 2020. I think they're a good piece of equipment. They're a much improvement over the last one. But that's my thought again. Again, it should be coming from the people who are using it. So thank you again so much for giving us opportunity to be here. And hopefully we can get some information from you. And if it's not today, you know, the Division of Elections, our website, easy to reach anybody at any regional supervisor at their office.
Thank you to both of you for speaking. And I just want to make a couple comments. And then if possible, if people would like to share some stories about voting, I personally have some. So I wanted to tell you just briefly about an experience I had today. So it's funny how things come up when you need them most. As I was exercising this morning, I was listening to the NFB's main publication called the Braille Monitor, and there was a replay of a speech given by, I don't remember her first name, her last name is Griswold. She is the Secretary of State of the state of Colorado. Colorado has a voting system where every single person who is blind, who has little vision to no lots of vision, you know, that's what people sometimes don't realize is blindness is truly on a spectrum. And excuse me, I'm talking more than I've talked all day. She said that for people with disabilities, they have a system that is similar to the one that folks who are in the military use, where from start to finish, there is the secure way for them to send their application. And they have machines as well, and a lot of things. And I would love to send a copy of that speech to you, just so you would get a sense. And maybe that is one of the ways I love that you're interested in doing more research. So I'd be happy to help you with that research and send that presentation to you. I was just really impressed also. Also, I do have another question about early voting. I have seen some information go out where there might be some machines available early voting, but for people with disabilities. But those machines then aren't available perhaps on the day of the election. And that is, I don't know that that's national elections, which leads me to my last question, which is... what happens for elections that aren't national elections. So I have been under the impression that all elections in the Help America Vote Act with every state should be covered in it being accessible. But I haven't gotten the impression that that has happened here in Alaska. Anyway, I'll let you answer those. And then if people have other questions, raise your hands. We'll take about 5 more minutes to answer some questions or tell experiences.
So this is Gail. And I would love to get that information you have from Colorado. I also will reach out to the state election director there, Judd Choate, who I know very well, and ask him what kind of system this is that you're referring to, Bonnie.
Okay.
For early voting does go through election day. So Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, but the early vote locations, say in Anchorage and the Mat-Su area, Fairbanks and Juneau and Nome, our offices or our wherever we might have moved them to, they do have those voting tablets for that whole 15-day period, which does include election day.
Okay, good.
Correct. And then HAVA was a federal law that required the touch screen, the voting tablets, to be available at every precinct for all federal elections. And so That's what the state does. So for basically every state election the state conducts, which is the primary and general, they both are federal elections because they always have federal offices on the ballot, United States Senator, United States Congress, and then of course the presidential races. So the state has this voting equipment available in all the elections we are responsible for conducting. David might be more adept to talk about how this plays into the municipal elections. I have to admit, I'm not an expert in anything, but I'm definitely not very knowledgeable of municipal codes and whatnot.
Okay. I will, before we take other questions, I will say that I voted with the machine. My adult child who was with me also voted. They're blind as well. And the funny thing about all that was I didn't like the machine very well. They had no problem with it. I have a daughter trying to call me and I'm trying not to answer. So I didn't particularly like them, but I managed to do it. But I like the other ones better because I'm so used to keypads. And I will say that we had problems when we went there and Julie, bless her heart, had to run over and help us get the machine running. So I think what I would say is that, you know, doing some even more training, I know there was training done. I am very aware of that. But I think what may happen in the moment, people get a little nervous and can't remember, or maybe there's a different person there or something like that. But and I would love to see if there's a way that some of us who are blind or low vision might be able to help out with some of that training. If we learned how to use it well, then and how the setup works, we'd be happy to be there and help out. So that's my experience. It probably took us over an hour for the both of us to vote. And my husband was done in like 5 minutes. And we did do early voting, thankfully. So, all right. Any other quick questions?
We do have two hands raised. The first would be Paul Felthauser.
All right, Paul.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a thing here a couple of years ago where they had the machine out here at the voting place where you put the headphones on and you pushed a couple of buttons and it voted for you. But this last time I had to have one of the people at the polling place go in with me and punch the card for me. And hopefully, you know, they punched what I said, but there's no way I could tell.
So, Paul, you are in the Valley. Where were you voting?
University of Alaska on Trunk Road.
All right. Did you ask them if they had a machine?
I don't know if I did or not. 1:51 p.m. on notification. But they had it a few years earlier, and then this time they didn't.
Okay. All right. So if anybody want to address that, Gail or Julie?
Go ahead, Julie. Go ahead.
Did you say it was at the Matsu College?
Yes.
Okay. And they did not have, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly, they did not have a voting machine there, a voting tablet?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I told them, you know, I needed help voting and stuff. And they go, well, we'll send a volunteer in with you.
Okay. Sounds
volunteer,
like
punch the things, what I said, you know, this is the person I want to vote for. They would punch it. And I can only trust that they've punched what I asked for.
So, yeah. And I think, you know, there was a time when we always voted that way. I'm, you know, for most of my life, I can remember doing that. But the joy of being able to do it on your own is just inexplicable. And I'm glad that you were able to attend and let them know that, Paul. That's great. All right. Who else?
Go ahead. Brian Blair.
Wait, go ahead, Paul. You had something else to say real quick.
I'm sorry. A few years back, they had a machine where I could do it all myself.
Yes. Yes.
I had one question for David earlier, though.
Oh, go ahead.
I went and went to do a message for my congressman and went to tried to find their websites and stuff, and their websites were so confusing. I had to go to a dozen different websites to even be able to get a phone number for each individual congressman, except Don Young, to even get a phone number so I could leave a message and ask him a question.
Hi, Paul. This is David. Thanks for the question. I unfortunately don't have jurisdiction over those federal agencies and the senators and congressmen. I only have jurisdiction over the state agencies.
Okay.
But I can pass that message along to the proper person for you. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Okay. You can mute me now.
Right. Brian Blair.
Yes. I've had been trying to use the electronic voting systems here since 2006, at least, maybe farther back, but and it's been kind of a mixed thing. Just most recently, I'll say I don't particularly like the newer voting tablets, the machines. And the reason I don't, and I wish they had, I wish the Department of Elections, Division of Elections had actually, at least I'm not to my knowledge, that they did any kind of talking to blind people specifically here about the proposed new machines. These keyboards don't conform to anything I've ever seen before. And that's what makes them rather user unfriendly. I mean, Bolly mentioned that. I mean, the old ones at least conform to a touch telephone keypad. These things have buttons in weird places and labels that don't seem to, I mean, you know, I'm a Braille user and I can read the labels, but it just is very unintuitive to me. I found it rather difficult. I mean, a different keyboard would sure be nice. Something that's conventional that people would be familiar with, whether it be a Braille keyboard or like for a Braille display or a QWERTY typewriter keyboard or a telephone keypad, touch tone keypad keyboard, but not this proprietary thing that's like, what? What is this? What are these keys up here for? This is weird. I mean, that's my opinion of that. I really wished for a long time there'd be some way of even being, and I understand the concerns with security, and I very much want voting security. That is that I can do a secret ballot, have assurance that my ballot is counted and that it is not somehow being hacked or in some other ways, you know, being messed up. But the other question or comment I was going to make, and this is in relation to what you said, Gail, concerning the HTML and being able to vote. I was this past in the November election, I wanted to vote at my local polling place and had planned on doing it. But I was exposed to COVID just days before the November election, so I did not go to the polling place. But I was pleased with the way the system worked that the day before, I was able to request a ballot online and was able to fill it out and print it out and do everything without sighted help, except that I did have my daughter confirm once I printed it that it did print. But I was happy with the way that worked, and I even was able to facilitate it for my wife, who at the time was quarantined as well, and we got that all taken care of. And so I was thankful for the way that worked out and that it was accessible. I found it to be accessible using JAWS for Windows and Firefox.
I agree there, Brian. I tested one of those, and that part of it is perfect. My hope is that at some point we can do what military people do, which is to be able to send it back securely.
Yeah, that would be helpful. In that case, what I did was I printed out the ballots on my printer, took them down to the to the polling place, called somebody because I they were able to come out and take the ballot from me outside and bring it in, you know, to the polling place. But at least it did work and it provided us an option I otherwise wouldn't have had.
Yeah. Okay, we want to do one final question from phone number ending in 2564.
Yeah, hi, this is Rick Webb, north of Fairbanks and Fox. And this is an issue that I've worked on for many, many, many years. And the thing people need to understand is the key words. The polling workers, they hear certain words. And so if, like the gentleman from the Valley, when he goes in and he says he needs help voting, they don't know that that means you want to use the accessible voting machine. They are trained to believe that you want them to personally help you. And, and depending on which location you're at, sometimes you have to say tablet, sometimes you have to say accessible voting machine. They're with the state and federal elections, they're supposed to be there always, but you know, they don't, when you come in, it's amazing to me in all my years of using a white cane, how many people say, oh, that's a really cool walking stick. You know, they don't even know what it is. And the same thing, you know, with the polling workers. And so keywords are really important. And I use the machine, and they had to get Jeremy Johnson. He's the director for the interior, because they couldn't get it to work. And I can't remember what the deal was, that they couldn't get me audio for some reason. And I can't remember if they had the headphones plugged into the wrong port or what it was. But I have some sight, and so I was able to utilize the machine without too much trouble once they got it to function. But it's certainly different. And like the other comments, you know, this proprietary system, a person has to be trained. It's not like, you know, the number pad, which is common to other things. And so it's just something that unless you have vision issues, they don't think about. And it would be nice if the engineers, when they're designing this, if they would have blind people, you know, help with the prototypes before something is actually put out. But that doesn't seem to happen.
I just want to add one more little bit to that. You know, I'm going to have to say that in my case, in Rick's case, in Brian's case, we're all older. But the young person that was with me had no problem getting that to work. So I think we're talking about, you know, demographics here, old people and young people. And at least the young people can use a keypad. And so I think the keypad really, really should be used just because that way the oldies like us can vote and those young folks know how to do it too. I mean, Aubrey had no trouble figuring it out and had voted, you know, fairly quickly. Whereas I was like, come do it for me, come do it for me. And they kept saying, no, you're going to have to do it yourself. And it took me a while, but I did figure it out. All right. So thank you everyone for your comments. Any last questions before we let these folks go? And thank you so much, Gail and Julie, for sharing your information with us. And I will get back with you on the information. It's probably a 10-minute max discussion that's had that I will send you. I'll see if I can get the text to the article is what I'll do. So
thank you. And I want to say thanks. I learned stuff today. I learned valuable things like consistency in messaging, consistency in what we call the units, the accessible units. And then we make sure that across the board statewide, our workers they're calling them this. And then learning that and emphasizing more during training to ask, is it your wish to use the voting tablet? Accessible voting machine, or would it be your desire to have someone come into the booth to assist you? Because that's your choice. They shouldn't be making that choice for you. So I appreciate hearing that today. You know, and we'll continue to strive to make improvements. I don't, anyway, you have lots of time. You have lots left to get on to, but we thank you for your comments and the opportunity
today. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you again for coming.